Good morning, everyone. Looks like we're going to get a little more rain. Yay! Right? Aren't you torn? I need the rain to cool it down, but I'm tired of rain, but then it gets sun and it's too hot and I can't go outside because it's too hot. I can't go outside because it's raining. And it's just like, but just remember, 6 months from now, we're going to be wishing for these days. Amen. Well, I just want to let you know that I had a really wonderful vacation time. I took some time and went to BC. And no, I did not go to BC. I went the other way. I went to Saskatchewan. And the B was in my head because I was thinking of North Battleford. And I just spent some time with my dear friend Becky and her family. And they had air conditioning. And it was 33 above and better. And it was like, we didn't go anywhere. We just stayed in the house and visited and crafted and visited some more and then visited again. I can't believe I can go for 7 days and we didn't run out of things to talk about. It was awesome. And then I got an opportunity to go out to a little cabin and spend a very rustic little cabin, but it was very nice. I spent some days just enjoying the presence of the Lord and painting, because that's my one of the gifts the Lord has given me to just enjoy, and I did that as well. So, yeah, this morning, we are going to be talking about, maybe, we'll see, is the clicker is on, is the pointer on the PowerPoint? Maybe not. I don't know. There we go. Okay. So restored, refreshed, replenished, and anointed. Sorry, I couldn't think of another word for anointed that started with R, so you just have to deal. So this is the words we're going to get into this morning as we get into the word of the Lord. And what I want to start with is I want to challenge you to be stewards of any revelation that the Lord gives you this morning. And what do I mean by that? Well, sometimes we arrive here on Sunday, and some of us arrived here on Sunday, if I can put it this Sunday, in a bit of a kerfuffle. Because we were had to do things we weren't planning or anticipating. Maybe this morning you got up and realized it's potluck and oh my goodness, I have nothing, blah, blah, blah. Stuff happens. And so we get caught up into our thinking, our emotions or whatever, and we just need to come to a place where we hear the Lord. Sometimes we come, we do our Sunday morning, and we go home and we forget what was preached by Wednesday. So that's okay. Because I want you to take this moment right now to let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to your heart. And when that revelation comes, when you get that witness, when something touches you deep, when you really feel it kind of grip you, when you hear a promise of the Lord and it's like, that's for me, don't just leave it there. Steward it. Nurture it. I challenge all of you to bring a pad and a piece of paper with you every Sunday. Doesn't mean you have to write down every part of the message, but maybe something comes out, one word, one scripture. Write it down so you don't forget. And then take some time to meditate on it. What was that word? Maybe just write one word down. Maybe it's hope or something like that. And it clicks in your brain again, and you meditate on it and ask the Lord, Lord, again, what was that revelation? Holy Spirit, bring it back and nurture it. Any of you who have been farmers or gardeners or even put a pot in your kitchen window, because that's about as good a green thumb as you have, know you have to nurture it. You can't just leave it there. The Word of God is seed. You need to nurture it. You need to water it. You need to tend to it. You need to look after it. So I'm going to call it this stewarding the Word of God. And so I want you to think about that this morning as we're here sharing this time together. One of the things that the Israelites are in Hebrews 4 are, kind of accused of or showing up, that they received the good word of the Lord, but they didn't mix it with faith, so it didn't benefit them. So you can hear the word of the Lord this morning, but if you don't nurture it to a place where it becomes faith within you. See, the word of the Lord is living and active, right? I'm going to go on sharper than two-edged sword, but it's living and active, and we want that word to become so living in us that it activates us. Amen? Does that make sense? I hope it does. Here's another interesting little scripture from Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our sons forever. What has that got to do with what I've just said? When God brings revelation, when that those secret things of God, the mysteries of God, have become a revelation to us, and we nurture it, it's ours forever. And it even goes on to say, and your sons, and your children's. That's crazy. How does God do that? I'm not going to get into that this morning. But we want the revelation, and it's ours forever. Amen? Okay, so let's just take a minute here. Father, we come before you and we thank you that you have given us Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you that you made a way for us to receive Holy Spirit. And so now, Holy Spirit, we ask you, bring the revelation this morning. As Linda has already prayed, that we'd go from this place changed, excited about what you're doing in our lives, our hearts, and in our world. Lord, you are awesome. You're awesome in this place. You're awesome within us. And we give you glory and praise for all the revelation you bring this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So be it. So let's look at our first word here, maybe. If the mouse has moved off the PowerPoint, it won't go forward. So Maddie, it's on there. I'm not sure why we're having. Okay. Maybe if it's having a jam thing, but if we have to leave, I know we have to leave the mouse on the PowerPoint. Okay. Restored. Here's our word restored. It means bring back to a previous right, practice, custom, or situation to reinstate. Return someone or something to a former condition, place, or position. How many of you have ever watched, I'm not going to get the name right, but to me it's something like Restore Auto or something like that, where they take these old cars and there's this guy and then they restore it back to, I'm going to say better than it was before. And they do this, I don't know why, I don't have that channel anymore that it was on, but I used to love to watch that. I don't know why, because I think it was more about the creativity, to be honest. And it just happened to be they were using cars. And they were beautiful. They were restored back to their former glory, or like I said, even better. Well, this morning we're going to look at this scripture right here from 1 Corinthians. Let's see if we can get 15:45-49. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, but the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. And we understand that that last Adam is Jesus. So we have the first Adam, Adam and Eve, man of the earth, and the last Adam, Jesus, who is a life-giving spirit. Verse 46 and on says, the spirit did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was made of dust of the earth, and the second man of heaven. And as was the first earthly man, so are those of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been bore the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I want to talk about that word restore and what has to do here. How many of you are in Jesus? You don't have to raise your hands. Just, I am in Jesus. And I want you to understand that each of these words, we recognize our identity and who we are now in Jesus. When we look at the word restored here, we were not restored back to Adam. We were restored in Jesus to something better than what was. Now, I want you to think about what Jesus was restored back to. Jesus was fully man, fully God. But he laid down his godly rights and his power to become fully man here on earth. When he operated here on the earth, he operated in the power of the Holy Spirit when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But until then, he was man like us. He was man after like us. But now we're baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. But when Jesus had finished his work on earth, that's when he had gone to the cross, to the grave, to hell, and resurrected. And then ascended, he was restored back to his place and his position. Now, remember, the word is living and active. And it says that as he is, finish it for me. Are we restored to a better place? Yes, we are. Again, we're not restored back to the first Adam. We're restored with the second Adam to heavenly position, seated in Christ. How do you like that restoration? And do you see your identity in that, of what Jesus has done? You have been restored. And in fact, with that word restoration, we know Scripture talks about what God will do. He says he's going to restore what the locusts have eaten in your life. How many of you feel like you've had a few locusts eating up some things in your life? Our God's going to restore. And he's a restorer who restores to better than what was. Better than what was. Amen? Well, we're going to move on to the next word. And that word is refresh. Now, one of the things you're going to see this morning is sometimes the scriptures that I use have the same words for restore and refresh. They all have the same type of meaning, but yet they're all a little bit different. So don't get too confused if you see the word restore show up here in a second. Okay? Refresh. Give new strength or energy to invigorate. Well, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I need a little refreshing and invigorating. I need a little strength, I need a little energy. In fact, sometimes I need a lot. If you've been in ministry long enough, I'll tell you what, sometimes you can suffer from some sheep bite or just the natural of the world. They don't want to hear our message anymore. Oh, you're a pastor. I got that the other day. Oh, you're a pastor. And it was the way they said it, you know, it was kind of like, oh, I'll be nice, but I really don't like you. Kind of a like what you do. I shouldn't say like you. I don't like what you do. And if you're here, someone who's had the good news and you desire to share it with somebody, I'm sure that you've had some resentment and resistance to what you have to share. And so sometimes we just need to be refreshed. We need to be strengthened and energized and invigorated. Well, again, the word is alive and active. And it's the promises of God. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ," we just talked about that, after you have suffered a little while. Whoa, we don't want to hear that. But hey, we live in this world. Will he himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast? And again, that word restore there, refresh. He's going to refresh. So if you're in a place of weariness right now, there's a place of refreshing. Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give your mortal, give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit who lives in you. A thing of refreshing. The Holy Spirit is there to refresh, invigorate, and energize us. We know Isaiah 30, 41, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Again, that promise of refreshing. There is refreshing as we walk along the road with Jesus. And we know that serving others and sharing the good news isn't always received well. Life itself just can be wearying. But when we get wearied and tired, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Amen. And again, you know, if this is you, if you're experiencing this weariness, hey, take a look at the shepherd. Look up to him because he cares for us. He cares for you. He is the one who comes around us and surrounds us, picks us up and carries us on our shoulders, takes us to places of rest. That doesn't always mean you get away from the house, but in your spirit and your soul, when you look to him, when you hope in him, when you focus on him, oh, our spirit soars. Our spirit soars. And we find refreshing. Well, let's move on to our next word here. And it is replenished. To make full or complete again, as by supplying what is lacking or used up. Oh man, have you ever felt used up? Have you ever felt lacking? Now the truth is we lack nothing. Doesn't mean we don't feel it sometimes. Again, our God is one who replenishes. And I'm going to move on to the scripture here. I just saw someone making notes. I'll give her a chance. Okay, maybe. Come on. Okay. Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I put this scripture here because I want to speak about a principle or a law, if I can put the replenishing law of the Lord. I'm going to start by looking at the fact a generous person will prosper. And I want us to think about that, that sometimes we were talking about, thank you, Linda, for those, the sacrifice that they made to make pies or a hot something for today or whatever the giving is. Sometimes it's financial, but it isn't always about money. But someone who gives whatever they have, no matter how little, will prosper. And if somebody gives whatever they have, like Jesus, just that cup of cold water to refresh somebody, that's seen as generosity. That's seen as refreshing. And whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. There's a principle here that we're going to keep looking at. Jesus and his disciples had been ministering and they're tired. And Jesus says, come on, let's get away to a remote place. And they get in a boat and they go, but guess what happens? The whole crowd follows them. And by the time they get there, the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, it's late. And if you want reference to this, I'll give you the scripture reference. It's from Mark 6, 30 to 44. That's the story. And they get there, and there's all these people there, and the disciples come to Jesus, and they said to him, well, I'll start in verse 35. It says, by this time it was late in this day, and his disciples came in and said, this is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go get to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. That makes sense. They're probably hungry themselves, the disciples. Let them go get something to eat. And Jesus says to them, to his disciples, but he answered them, you give them something to eat. And I want you to listen to the disciples' response. They said, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we going to spend that much on bread and give it all to them to eat? Okay, let's just stop and think about that. They were definitely concerned for the people, but they didn't think it was their responsibility to feed the people. And then when they, Jesus said, we'll give them something to eat, their response is, should we take all the funds out of the ministry here and feed all these people? Like, is that a wise thing for us to do? You know, that's kind of the, should we spend all our money on this for to give one meal? So what was their thoughts? How were they going to feed the people? What was it going to take?
Half a year's wage.
It's going to take money. It's going to take all the ministry money. I don't know how much was in there or whatever. It's going to take a lot of money to feed that many people. So how are we going to feed that people? Well, it takes money to feed the people. You give them something to eat, he said to them. That would take more than half a year's wages. And are we going to spend that much to give them something to eat? That was the thoughts of the disciples. That in order to feed these folks, it was going to take the money. And what has God said about money? Is money a bad thing? No. What is a bad thing? The love of money. The idea that that's where we need to go to get our situation solved. And that's where we get in trouble. See, that's a worldly view. Money is a worldly creation and it isn't created by God. Did the disciples need money or did they need food? They needed food. I could have an entire wheelbarrow of money here, but if there's no food to purchase, it's pointless, it's useless. Jesus then asked them, listen, what do you have? How many loaves do you have? He asked, Jesus, that is. Go and see. And when they found out they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's what they shared with him. What do you have? Go see. Last night it was like, what do I have for potluck? Go see. At 10 o'clock at night. Go see. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to be honest, I'd probably be just like the disciples. I'd look at 5 loaves and 2 fishes and going, you got to be kidding. That's it? What are we going to do? But Jesus has them bring them. And Jesus does something interesting. The word is alive and active. God's promise, I'll meet your needs. And he activates it in this. He tells them to go and sit down in groups. And they sit them down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Something's going to happen. We're getting them ready. And then he looks up to heaven. And he doesn't say, oh God, please multiply the food. What does he say? Thank you. I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. thank you, Lord. He wasn't looking at lack. Where was he looking? The God of all creations, the one who multiplies everything, the one who refreshes, restores, and replenishes. Now, can you imagine? It says he divides it up between his 12 disciples. I'm assuming the 12 were there. I'm not sure if it says how many of them were there. But he breaks it up and gives them each a piece. So you got a little piece of fish and a little hunk of bread. Now go feed them. I'm going to go to a group of 50 first. And they break off a chunk. And they give it to the first and a chunk of fish. And they start breaking it off and giving it to them. And the little chunks in their hands don't get smaller. They get replenished as they go, as they're faithfully following Jesus. And they feed the 5,000 till everyone is full, and then they go back and gather up the leftovers, and there's 12 basketfuls. That's how our God replenishes. He didn't just meet their needs. There was leftovers. Now we can go to the Old Testament and we see where Elijah goes to the widow. He's told to, and all she has is a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. She's going to make a little loaf. Her and her son are going to eat it, and we're going to die. And the prophet says to her, go make me a loaf of bread. And she obeys. She takes the little that she has. I don't know what's going on in her mind, whether she's had a revelation or whether she's just decided, eat the bread, don't eat the bread, I'm going to die. I'll give it to him. I don't know. Maybe that's what she thought. Maybe not. But what happens is her flour and her oil never run out because she took the little she had and blessed and refreshed the prophet, refreshed somebody. And until the rains had come and the crops were in again, she always had flour and she always had oil. And we see the same sorts of things happen with Elisha, where there's a widow who comes to him and says, help me, because her husband is gone, she's got debts, and the debtors are coming, and they're going to take her little children, they're going to take her sons into slavery to pay for the debt. And the prophet asks her this, what do you have? I have a little oil, she says. He says, I want you to go out into all the community and get as many empty jars as you can possibly find. Maddie will move on. Oh, I think I got it there. There's the picture. Bring as many as you can find and then take your oil. And you start filling those jars. And the Lord replenished as she went from jar to jar to jar, from her little jar, and filled them all. And when she had filled the last jar, the oil ran out in hers. And the prophet says, when you get that oil, you take it and you sell it. Pay your debt and live on what's left over, which is what she did. She sold the oil. But you see, it wasn't just that she had enough to pay off her debt. She then had enough to live on. That's the kind of God we have. That's what Jesus has done for us. He's restored us, and he will replenish and restore. But not just a little bit, not just enough. He will replenish beyond. So that you can be generous and continue to be generous. Refreshing others, restoring others. So it doesn't matter what you feel like you lack, you don't. When we look to the Lord, our needs are met by the Lord. And here's what I want to encourage you with this morning. Don't let your views be limited and boxed in. Don't let it be about the money. Let it be about what is the need and how can I meet the need. What do I have? Jesus said, go look. What do you have? What can I do? And trust the Lord to keep replenishing. You don't have to feel, you know, like I think of the one little the widow who only had the oil and the flour. If I give it away, I have nothing. But she gave it away anyway to have an endless supply. I'll tell you the story about my van. I don't know if I've shared it with you, with all of you in detail, but the Lord has always provided me a vehicle, and that has been his promise for me. So, no, you know Big Red that I was driving there? I also called it Growler because I'm a big engine. And about two years ago, it started having some issues. And that is, I'd be driving along, and all of a sudden, boom, it would stop. Nothing. I'm not talking a light. I'm not talking a switch. I just coast over to the side of the road, and I'd count, shut it off, count to five, turn it back on, it'd be fine. Now, I have been told for years, when you start having electrical problems with a vehicle, it's time to sell it. That's basically, electrical is a huge issue. Anyhow, I'm just going to put it there. So I do my due diligence. I go on Facebook or YouTube to see if there's some little nothing. I couldn't find what it was. It could be this, could be that. It was just like, this is a lot of money. So I just said to the Lord, Lord, what do I do? Do I pay to fix it or what? And the Lord said to me, it'll keep running until the new one is here. The next one is here. Okay, I'm going to trust you on that, Lord. I had it happen one other time where it did that. And I just went, nope, you keep running. This is what the Lord said. I got mad at that. Nope, you're not. And then it was sometime in the spring here. I was coming up the road. I'd just come from prayer meeting, actually. And I, dead, nothing. Coasted over to the side of the road, shut it off, and I just went, Lord, you made a promise to me that this was not going to happen again until the next vehicle was here. So I'm assuming it's on its way. And I started it up and I drove home. And I was home probably about an hour when I get a call from my brother. And my brother says to me, I want you to go to Kijiji and go to this particular, okay, so I do. And I, oh, look at that. Isn't that nice? He says, what do you think? I says, yeah, it's really nice. And I said, are you buying that? What it was a white Toyota Sienna van. And he said, well, I was thinking about it for you. And I said, oh, wow. I said, that's nice. How much does it cost? Because I don't think I have money to get. He says, no, I'll buy it for you. Well, how much do I like it now? Yes, please. And so, it's out there right now. So when you see that beautiful little white van, even though it has a few dings, it's wonderful. But you see, the Lord provided. And I tell you what, I did a dance of joy when I again heard the Lord and saw him provide. Now, I didn't sit and say to the Lord, I want this kind of. The Lord knows I kind of like vans. And the Lord knows I kind of like Toyotas. Now, it wasn't a brand new, and it isn't, but it's what I love, and it works, and it works for me, and it was the Lord's provision. Amen? Amen? So when you see that little white van moseying around, you just look at the replenishing of the Lord, the upgrade of the Lord, the good things of the Lord. And if he's going to do it for me, trust me, he's going to do it for you. He's going to restore and replenish. And again, let's not box him in. Let's let him provide. He's willing and wants to. We're his children. And I want you to know he doesn't just replenish practical. Though he does. He replenishes all the way along. Again, remember I said at the beginning, all these words are similar. Each has a little bit of a different story. Or different understanding, meaning, not story, but. So I'm going to the next scripture here from 2 Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. There's a multiplication here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, seeing his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world by lust. In other words, you don't have to worry about the lust of money anymore. You got to go. God is going to provide for all your needs. And not only that, any of his precious and magnificent promises are yours in Christ. We're going to move on here. Next word is anointed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put the scripture up first. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil, for God had anointed him. One of the revelations I want you to have is the anointing. When people speak of the anointing, it is the Holy Spirit and his power. How many of you know Jesus and have the Holy Spirit? Then you are anointed because the Holy Spirit indwells you. Jesus said, I have to return to the Father so you can receive the Holy Spirit. And this is no little thing, folks. You see, when we look at the Old Testament, we understand that was a time where the Father, though he wasn't really known as the Father yet, spoke through his law, through prophets and that. Then came the time of his Son, Jesus, who revealed the Father to us, God our Father. And Jesus came and he modeled the life full of the Holy Spirit. And now we're in the time of the Holy Spirit. There's a promise. Jesus said, I'm going to pour out the Spirit. I need to go back to the Father so I can send the Spirit. And now we are anointed in the Holy Spirit. And every promise that has been made to us, we can receive because we have Holy Spirit anointing. And even the anointing of this, even Holy Spirit, though we're full of him, we can get replenished. Jesus tells the story of the 10 virgins, right? And we need to repent, replenish in the Holy Spirit, in the anointing. If only I was anointed like, I want the double anointing of, you don't need it, you have it. You have it. But what it comes to is us. Again, where I started at the beginning, where we nurture and meditate and understand. All these things are about our identity in Christ. Jesus gave us so much more. Holy Spirit in you. Seated in heavenly places. You're now of heavenly stuff. How many of you feel like you're made of heavenly stuff? But that's the thing we need to understand. We're new creations made of heavenly stuff. In the image, reflecting the image of Jesus, anointed by Holy Spirit to do the things we saw Jesus do, and even greater things he said. You are refreshed, restored, refreshed, replenished, and anointed. Where is Holy Spirit leading you today? What's he asking you to do? Are you going to go from here today saying, that was a nice word? Or Pastor Shannon looked like she had a great time on her holidays. Or are you going to take the revelation of Holy Spirit and what he said and nurture it? Nurture it in your being. Again, I'm just going to put these restored, refreshed, replenished, anointed. And I want to end with this scripture right here. And this is from the Passion Translation. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. I hope this morning you heard some things from Holy Spirit that established that, it needs to be established in your heart. It encourages you in who you are in Christ. What he's done, isn't he good? Aren't you glad to know him? Aren't you glad to know the one who replenishes? I love the idea of the loaves and fishes and what Jesus did. But sometimes, you know what? I just want to encourage you in this. Sometimes it takes that step out in faith and you need to get the people to sit down in groups expecting of the Lord. Because you are anointed. You are blessed. And we need to mix the words we hear, what we believe, with our faith. And see the mighty hand of God move on our behalf. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to ask somebody to bring the box up. We're going to pray for that, pray for you, pray for the meal. And then if we need a few people to help set up some tables. Amen. And I invite any of you who feel like you want to come tonight to the prayer meeting. We're going to have a hallelujah time and pray for healing. Father, we come before you and we thank you that every prayer request in here has been met by you. Lord, you are good. You are faithful. And Lord, we don't even need to know what's on these papers. We know you know and that your answer is yes. So Lord, you said, come, knock, seek, knock, and the door will be open. So we're asking for heaven's doors opened over every situation here. We pray for the healing. And Lord, anyone sitting in this place that needs healing this morning, we thank you that you're touching their bodies, their physical beings, and restoring them to fullness of health. Be it a joint, be it a muscle, be it a sickness, we just say, away from them now. Stop being tormented by such. And just receive the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit healing and moving in your bodies. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, quickening your mortal body. And Father, again, we thank you for the food that's been provided. And we thank you that you multiply it, that all will be filled to overflow and there'll be leftovers. Because that's the kind of God you are. Again, Lord, we give you glory and praise in your precious name. And all your children said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, bless you guys. Have a fabulous week. I'll just let you know, Sam is our preacher next week. And